Hey there, Admission Auto listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Cleo, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
Okay, so I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. What about you, Stephen? I feel like you went to some place that I may have heard of, but like I keep forgetting the name.
Yeah, it was Harvard. It's an easily forgettable name only because it's the most prestigious university in the world. It's a good school. All right, let's leave it at that. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory.
Cool. So on that note, we're moving into our topic for today. Last week, we talked about the important academic milestone in your college career, selecting your major. Finally, you'll have the chance to pursue your academic passions, and that is a very good thing.
But college isn't all about academics. This week, we're going to chat about life outside of the classroom. We'll just call this entire all-encompassing area social life, because most of what you'll be doing will involve other people.
And by social life, we don't just mean partying.
Name me one good thing about college besides partying.
One? How about three? A wonderful sense of community, an array of extracurricular activities, and building relationships that will last a lifetime.
Whoa. Those are three pretty awesome things, I have to say. So are we going to talk about all of those things on today's show?
Of course. And we'll also talk about some partying, too.
Nice.
Okay, so topic one for today is community. And, you know, this is really important because you don't attend college alone. You're part of a vibrant campus community that includes a diverse array of different kinds of people.
Yeah, so what was, I know the way communities are organized at each college is a little bit different. So I was wondering if you could tell our listeners about the community at Yale.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there are some standards that all colleges have when it comes to community, freshman dorms, et cetera, but everyone does it a little bit differently. And at Yale, there were 12 residential colleges that you were sorted into, like by the sorting hat at Hogwarts, is how I always felt about it. And I was in Saybrook, so that means that, you know, the freshman year, everyone lives together in like a freshman area called Old Campus. And then after that, you're sorted into your group and you live with your, you've been in your college the whole time, but freshmen live together. And then sophomore year, you live in your college. So it's a pretty awesome way to like start off with 100 friends right from the beginning.
So when do you know when you're sorted into your residential college? When do you find that out?
You find out, I think in August, I want to say, like a few weeks before school starts. And then from that point on, you can like friend people on Facebook and, you know, get involved in the college website. And they, you know, each college has its own like intramurals teams and clubs and dances and all these amazing things. And it's a really fun way to meet people right from the beginning.
August before your freshman year, you find out.
Oh, right. Yeah. Before you even get there, you find out.
Whoa, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but again, your freshman year, almost everyone lives together in this freshman area. Even though you're in your college, you know, you eat in your college, at least at the beginning. You, like, attend events in your college. But then the sophomore year, you can actually move in there.
Cool.
So at Harvard, I know it's a similar deal, but I think freshman year is different, right?
Yeah, so you don't get that sort of, you don't get sorted into your residential college or as we call them later on, upper class houses until the end of freshman year. So all freshmen at Harvard live in or around Harvard Yard. I say around because there are about two or three dorms that aren't in the yard themselves, but they're peripheral to the yard. So the great thing about this is that, you know, at the beginning of your Harvard experience, you are thrust into the center of campus. You are, you know, you can roll out of bed and walk 25 steps to your, you know, first class of the morning. And, you know, Harvard Yard really is the center of Harvard life. So it feels good to be a part of that. And so towards the end of your freshman year, what happens is you choose a blocking group, it's called, of up to 8 people, or you can go on your own as what's known as a floater, if you're not part of a blocking group. And then that's when you're randomly assigned by the, you know, magical Harry Potter sorting hat to an upper class house. And so there's 13 upper class houses. 10 that are on the river, that are, you know, near the Charles River and also closer to the yard, and 3 that are in what's called the Quad. It's the old Radcliffe campus. Mm-hmm. It's about like a 10-minute walk from the yard, but there's also a shuttle. You know, a lot of people initially complain if they get what's called quadded, because you feel like you're all of a sudden, you know, thrust into Siberia. But in reality, most of my friends that were in the Quad actually loved it. The community there is pretty great, and it's you know, the benefit of upper class housing is it's, you know, is it provides these communities for you to be a part of. You know, they say, Harvard says that it's randomized, you know, how you're put into these upper class houses, but each house kind of has like a vibe. Definitely it happens, you know, and it's also easy to transfer if you want at the out of your upper class house into another one at the end of each year. And that's what I did at the end of my sophomore year.
I should mention that's possible at Yale too. You can change colleges if you want. And also if you later on after living in the college, you can move off campus. It's not at all required. A lot of people stay on campus for all 4 years, but like for example, my junior and senior year, I lived off campus in a house of 8 girls from all different colleges. So that was pretty fun too.
So, I mean, how many students would you say, like what percentage of students choose to live, you know, in the residential college system all 4 years versus how many move off campus at Yale?
I definitely don't know the statistics. It's like an unusual, it's more unusual to move off campus, but I'd say maybe like 3/4 stay as a guess.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so at Harvard, it's pretty much like 97%. It's gotta be that of students who stay in the upper class houses, just because, first of all, you know, the rent of apartments like in and around Cambridge is absurd, and mm-hmm. it's hard to find a good apartment. And second, I mean, people just sort of want to stay within these upper class house communities. I mean, in each upper class house, there's like a dining hall, there's all this other stuff. I mean, the best thing about upper class life at Harvard is that it's vibrant. You know, there's house masters for each house that hold events, usually on a weekly basis, sort of, you know, kind of wine and cheese parties or different kinds of food, you know, social events. And there are different upper class houses at Harvard that are known for certain functions. You know, my upper class house, my junior and senior year, Leverett House, was known for like a yearly 80s dance, which was like an awesome, amazing part of campus life. And there's also a fun competitive spirit between houses, sort of like in the Harry Potter world. You know, there's intramural sports and there's inter-house events. And so, you know, at Harvard, at least a lot of people choose to sort of stay in that life because it's pretty cool and it's unique also. To campus.
And it's, I just want to say it's also, most of that exists at Yale too, all of it really. And it's, you can still be involved in it if you choose to get an apartment or something, but it is a really special thing about college, is this community that exists for you. So I really encourage all of you guys to take advantage of that, especially at the beginning when you feel lost and you don't know anyone. Like, really look around your dorm, your residential college, or whatever the equivalent is at your school, because it's a pretty awesome way to get started.
Yeah, for sure. So let's so now that Cleo and I have explained the communities at Harvard and Yale to you, let's get into some universal points just about the idea of community in college.
Right, okay, so as you all probably know, freshman year you're randomly assigned to roommates, and then later on you can usually choose.
Yeah, I mean that's like Cleo said, that's what happens at Yale. That's what also happens at Harvard with blocking. And this is also a part of college that's important, and it's like a big sort of stage of growing up is like picking your roommates and selecting who's you want to live with and who you don't want to live with, and it's part of community building. It's you're creating the community of the people that you want to be with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it at the beginning, it can be kind of overwhelming living with so many other people your age in such close quarters. But it's really fun, and it's a great way to make friends, and it's also pretty unique. Like, later on when you graduate, even if you live in the same city as a lot of your friends, you'll be dispersed all over the place. And it's just not the same as all living in a dorm or a house together. So really, really take advantage of that while you can.
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of friends who've graduated and who said, like, I wish I'd taken advantage more of the campus community and housing life and because there's so many events, there's so many things that are always going on that you might just feel like, I don't necessarily, I don't have the time for this, or that sounds interesting, but I don't really want to check it out. Like, it's really a unique 4-year experience that you'll never have again. Like Cleo said, your friends will be dispersed all over the world. There are events at Harvard. There were like social and artistic events. Like the Dunster House, an upper class at Harvard, had an opera that was actually really pretty professional. There's like panel discussions with experts and
Right.
professors. There's organized dinners, cocktail receptions, things like that, that like, you should take advantage of, you're never going to be a part of such a unique community again. I mean, unless you go to grad school, but even then, it's really not the same as the undergrad experience. And the one also thing that I want to say is that, when you go to like Ivy League schools or top tier universities, like most Ivy League schools, just to ease some people's minds, like they guarantee housing on campus for pretty much all 4 years. Like
Yes.
Cleo said, she lived off campus, but she made a choice to do that. It wasn't like she, didn't have a housing option. And
Oh no, that was just a fun way to mix up with a bunch of girls from different colleges
yeah,
for me.
exactly. And the one thing that you realize is this sort of guarantee of like, hey, there's housing if you want it is a very good thing. I mean, there's a lot of colleges out there who are like, you're on your own. Find a place to live. But these schools, want you to live on campus because they want you to experience, these vibrant communities. And even if you live off campus, like Cleo, you're still there. Chances are you still are participating. Like, you're just sort of living it. It's just, where you're sort of, sleeping, at night. You're not
Right.
just like you're not distancing yourself from the
Oh
campus
no.
itself.
No, I still use the campus libraries and dining halls and theaters and laundry rooms and, dances and everything. I still went all the time. So it's very much a scene that you want to plug yourself into.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys have gotten a good sense of what community is like in college. So we're going to move on to our second topic of the day, which is extracurricular activities.
So, you know, the most exciting thing about college, I think, at the very beginning, is that no one is telling you to spend your time in any certain way. You, for the first time ever, probably, can really do whatever you want, and that's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it's you know, with high school, you might have a feeling like, I should participate in this, you know, in student government. I should do this because it's going to look good on my application. That's not so in college. I mean, you can join any club that relates to your interests. And at Harvard, they have a really great thing where if such a club doesn't exist, like say you are an incredibly huge fan of Game of Thrones and the club doesn't exist at Harvard, the school will give you funding to start a Game of Thrones club. And as I'm saying this, I'm realizing I'm sure there already is right now a Game of Thrones club at Harvard.
I'm sure there is too. But it is very liberating and exciting to realize that you can get involved with anything you want. And really, classes are only a few hours a day. So I was amazed when I got to college by how much free time I had compared to high school. My gosh, you know, in high school, you might be up at 6 a.m., coming home at 8, and then working all night. And college is a very different thing. So you have a lot more freedom. You can study for a while, go see a show, go play a game. You really, like, it's up to you, and take advantage of that freedom.
So you've also commented on this, and I've said something similar, but I was wondering if you could talk about, you mentioned that you, at one point, early on in your college career, you were overcommitted to things, and I was wondering if you could tell everyone what that's like and why that's not necessarily the greatest thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Yale has this extracurricular bazaar as soon as you get to campus that is like a totally overwhelming thing where you can go and see every single club and student organization. And you walk through and you can sign up on different pan lists and, you know, get involved. And I just like, so I probably signed up for like 30 pan lists. And I was getting emails from like, you know, the Yale Drama Coalition, which I, you know, later on definitely pursued, but then also like different acapella groups about their audition dates, and then like Yale Environmental Club and the Yale College Democrats, and you know, it just was insane. And I had to like eventually unsubscribe from probably 20 pan lists because every time I checked my email, I had like 50 messages about things I just couldn't do. But I narrowed it down, and I ended up, you know, auditioning for a few shows, getting involved in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, an all-female production of it right off the bat, which was a blast.
Nice.
And what else did I do right at the beginning? I played some IMs. I joined a tumbling class at the gym. I did some singing, and it was just, you know, you have to make sure it's manageable within the time frame, but it can be a really, really fun way to get started. What did you do at the beginning? Were you involved in a million things?
Yeah, I did the same sort of thing of signing up for a million things and getting on a million email lists, and then realizing it was like, all right, well, a little too much. And, you know, I needed to narrow it down to, you know, really what I was interested in. I mean, my freshman year, I was participating in, you know, a couple extracurriculars regularly. I was writing like a few articles for the Crimson, you know, the Harvard newspaper. I worked for the Harvard Film Review, which I got to interview some cool people, including Kevin Smith, which was a great experience. And I joined this organization, Crimson Key, to this sort of campus leadership organization to give tours of the Harvard campus, which, you know, when you go to Harvard and get a tour, it's from a keister, as they're called, and so yeah, it was like, you know, I wasn't spreading myself thin, but I was definitely participating in a lot of stuff. I mean, by senior year, I had one single extracurricular activity that I was spending, you know, more time on than all of my classes combined. It was this campus TV show called Ivory Tower, which my senior year, I was the executive director of it. I was, you know, we had a 5-episode season. I wrote and directed like the first and last episodes of the season. And I mean, it was essentially like my Harvard thesis. I mean, it was like I was devoting my time to this, and I was creating, you know, this, what I consider to be a work of representative sort of art of what it's like to be a Harvard student. And yeah, it was like I was devoting, I would say, you know, something insane, like 30 to 40 hours a week to right. that, rather than just my classes.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty normal trajectory. That sounds awesome, by the way. But I think it's normal for people to like hone in over the course of college and actually get to like leadership roles within the organization and like doing their own thing and taking their own initiative and, you know, writing plays if you're a theater studies person, or like directing things. And at that point, you really can't do too many organizations, but you can really focus on a few in a serious, high-level way.
Yeah. So, what were you, I mean, as college went on, what were you devoting more and more of your time towards as in your later years?
Well, I mean, I did different things. I usually did at least one play every semester, and that would be, you know, rehearsing from 5 to 11, like most nights would be a pretty intense commitment. But I also did, you know, I was a research assistant at the Yale Child Study Center, and I worked as a playwriting mentor at a local high school. And by the end, by senior year, I really was focusing on writing, and I wrote a full-length musical, which I directed and staged, and, you know, it happened the month before I graduated, and it was just such an exciting, wonderful thing to do in the college theater in my own Saybrook basement. And it was just, it really confirmed for me like what I wanted to dedicate my time to after graduating. And it was so rewarding. So it really paid off for me.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, because, you know, here you were in this campus community and you had found this outlet for doing sort of what you love. And that's a feeling, you know, that I could definitely relate to when I was writing and directing Ivory Tower, like that same sort of, whoa, like I'm devoting all this time to this, but I love this. And, you know, this is really cool. And I imagine that's how it felt with, you know, your musical also, which is to me, the greatest part of extracurriculars in college is that, you know, you're free to explore your passions and then, you know, chase down what you love. And if you don't like something, you don't have to do it. But on the other hand, if you love it, you can spend, you know, all your time on it.
Absolutely. And you learn pretty quickly, I think, how to budget your time and stay on top of everything. And one big thing is to be like a reliable and good collaborator for others you're working with. Because if you're, you know, overcommitted, you're probably not going to be that useful to any particular organization. But you figure that out. You get the hang of it.
Yeah, you really you've touched on something big there also, which is you learn how to be a part of an organization and you learn organizational skills. I mean, right. No matter what it is you're doing on campus, from like, you know, athletics to writing for a periodical to being part of a community service group, I mean, you're working alongside others, so you know you're going to learn these valuable lessons of what it's like to work in an organization.
And you learn how to be professional. You definitely learn how to write a good email by the end of college. That was like a very serious skill that I developed at Yale, was learning how to approach someone with like a professional proposal. And you really get the hang of that, which can be useful in your summer internships and then in your career after college.
Yeah, I mean, so like a great extracurricular will teach you those kind of professional and organizational things. And at the same time, you know, the last great thing that I think about extracurriculars is, you know, while they do all those things, they're also an amazing gateway into social life, right? Because it's like when you're working on that musical that you've poured your heart and soul into, or you're working on, you know, that TV show that you've spent hours, you know, perfecting the script for. I mean, you're spending time around people that love the same things that you do, that are passionate about, what it is that you're passionate about. So these people will most likely, become your friends, and that's a pretty great thing. It's sort of extracurriculars can be these like all-encompassing sort of life experiences on the college campus.
And speaking of life experiences and people, we're going to move into our next topic, which is building relationships at college. And obviously, this is college turns out to be, you spending a lot of time with the greatest resource of all, which is your peers. And those 4 intense years together can lead to some serious lifelong relationships.
Yeah, when people ask me what the best thing about Harvard was, I don't say, oh, it was the professors, it was, the faculty, it was the resources of a top university in the world. I without hesitation, I always say it was the people. It was the peers, it was my peers in the undergraduate community, the friends that I made during my 4 years of college.
Absolutely. It's really like you spend so much time with these people, and everyone is so interesting and focus on different things, and really try to keep an open mind and expose yourself to different people outside of the roommates you're assigned or, outside of your normal comfort zone. Try to meet people who you might not have come into contact with otherwise, and it can be so awesome and insightful, and these can really lead to very important friendships for you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my freshman year. I've talked about my roommate Adrian, who's from Malaysia, but during the first week of freshman year, I had, met a girl who lived and grew up in Zimbabwe, and then also met a friend who had lived and grew up in California. I mean, so it's just all these, different people with different backgrounds and different experiences. But what I came away with after, my 4 years there was a handful of just like incredible friendships. I mean, these are people I would say that I'd trust with my life, who I'm going to be friends with and stay in touch with for as long as I live. And that to me is worth so much in the entire college experience.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to say is that these friendships will grow and evolve over the course of college, and that's totally okay. You might not be best friends at the end with the same person you were best friends with at the beginning, or maybe you will be. And either way, you're both growing a lot and learning a lot about each other and yourselves and what you value in friends and in life, and it can just be such a rewarding experience. Like I stayed with the same roommate for all of 4 years, which is pretty awesome. But the circumstances changed a lot. At first we were randomly assigned with a few other wonderful roommates, and then we moved into the college into a suite of 6 people that we chose to live with. And then, like I said, we moved off campus to this house of random friends from all parts of Yale, and it really created this group that we still have weekly updates on each other's lives and visit each other as often as we can, and they're spread out all over the country, and one of them is moving to Argentina soon. But it's just this wonderful network of people who you can always go to and crash on their couch, and you really know each other quite well.
And the other thing is that you're living in close quarters with all these people, so you naturally become entwined in each other's lives. You become therapists, academic advisors, social counselors, and you learn like the give and take. You learn how to talk and how to listen. And I can remember this, amazing but sad moment from the end of my senior year, where I was sitting in a room full of my close friends. We were all in the same dorm, or in dorms that were like, really close to each other. And I came to this realization, like there were a few weeks left of school, and I remember saying, like, hey, do you guys realize that we've only got a few more weeks here, and we'll never all live this close to each other again? Like, it's like,
Sad.
yeah, it's just like, I had this realization, like, hey, if I want to go hang out with Tom. I just walk out the door of my dorm, walk 5 minutes, and I'm there. Like, you know, if I want to, you know, if I want to go see Pat, I just walk across the hall and knock on his door. Like, it's
right.
You know, you that sort of proximity to your friends, and also, like Cleo said, to the people that you know, you have sort of more professional relationships with. Like, that's something that's so incredibly unique about college and that you never really experience again.
It's true. Except for those, you know, reunions and parties that you may have later in life. But like we said, it really is not as easy when it's not downstairs in the dorm room where everyone lives. But I think that would move us into the next topic, which I know you've all been waiting for, which is partying in college.
Yeah, partying. I mean, we've talked about it before, and you know, we talked about some things in your freshman year, some awkward situations that you might get into, of course. But so now, instead of completely rehashing the topic from start to finish, let's get into some partying do's and don'ts. Cleo, why don't you start us off?
Well, we've all been waiting for. Okay, so my first thing is do go out and have fun with your new friends, obviously. Don't go totally insane and miss important things or feel pressured into doing anything you're not comfortable with. Take it easy, especially at first.
Yeah, I will add to that, though, that one of the greatest feelings in college, and I said this often in college, is when you're, you know, so like, say you have a paper due on Friday, right? And so it's Wednesday, and all day Wednesday you're telling yourself, like, I'm gonna knock this entire paper out. I'm gonna, like, you know, all 15 pages of it, I'm gonna work on it tonight, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna, like, it's gonna be, you know, I'm just gonna get through it so I can get it done. I won't have it hanging over my head. And one of the best, like, fleeting feelings is, like, you know, you're about to work on that paper on Wednesday night and somebody comes in and is like, hey, we're going out to this bar and it's going to be awesome. And then you're just like, cool. And you just go and you put the work off until Thursday. And, you know, that is, like, the greatest feeling in college.
Yes.
When you get that sort of, like, reprieve. But it's also followed by one of the worst feelings, which comes the next day, when you're like, oh God, I didn't do any of that work and it's all tomorrow.
Actually, you really master that by the end of college, though. And I just want to say that the last assignment I had at Yale, I sat in a coffee shop from 10 a.m. to probably 9 p.m. I wrote the entire thing. I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. I wrote it all in one day. It was like a 20-page paper on a bunch of different plays. And then I went out all night, and it was a wonderful feeling. And then I immediately, like, collapsed and got ill because my body was just like, you are driving me crazy. Like, you need to rest. So you have to definitely find a sense of balance. But you really get good at knocking out those 10 pagers.
Yeah, for sure. So that brings us to our next do and don't, which does involve your health, which is do stay hydrated. You know, if you're out drinking and partying, make sure you drink, you know, one non-alcoholic drink or just about 8 ounces of water for every alcoholic drink you consume. It's just a way to, you know, stay hydrated and not be incredibly hungover. The one thing you don't want to do is lose track of how many drinks you've had, because that is a one-way ticket to Blackout City.
Do live with people you love spending time with, but don't get yourself into a living situation that is all raging all the time, unless, you know, you're majoring in some kind of social science and it's part of your experiment to observe people while they drink and then measure their behavioral changes.
Yeah, if that is your thesis, I mean, that is amazing. And please, if that ends up being your thesis in college, please send it to me. I want to read it and see what the results are, because, you know, you put yourself in that awesome rager situation for science. And I love that. Okay, so do reward yourself for hard work and, you know, let loose once in a while. Have fun, you know, like. like Cleo said, finish that paper and then go have a crazy raging night. But don't party so much that the reward itself becomes its own punishment. You know, for example, the worst hangover of your life, which, you know, if you've definitely experienced if you've let loose after some big assignment is over, and then the next morning you just feel like you want to crawl back in bed and die.
Also, do go to costume parties, go to dances, explore the city. Don't go tightsless in the middle of February because they clash with your flapper outfit.
Nice. Was that another was
Oh, yeah,
was
that
that
happened. That happened.
was that a but was that a decision also motivated by the fact that you grew up in the warm California weather?
Yeah, you know, just the theme here is like be logical.
Nice. All right, so do party with your friends, you know, the people you love and trust, and good times will definitely be had. But don't force yourself into a social scene because you think you should. You know, your time in college is too precious to be wasted on a club slash group that won't have you as a member.
That's really true. Okay, do travel light. No one wants to be that kid out on the town with a backpack. I've done it before, and I know it's tempting to go straight from the library, but it's just really awkward to dance with that thing. But don't lose your keys or your ID or any means of getting home. If you do, like, make sure you find someone else who can let you in.
Yeah, for sure. There's way too many instances that I've witnessed in college of of drunk students banging on doors, yelling, "Let me in," after they've lost their keys and ID. It's
Right.
hilarious, but you know, you don't want to be that person.
Exactly.
And the last one is, do make sure you've got a cell phone in case of emergency, you know, in case you are that drunk kid locked out of your apartment, but don't drunk text that cute girl from your entryway, drunk dial that ex from high school, drunk FaceTime with your 8-year-old cousin. I mean, basically any form of communication preceded by drunk is a bad idea.
Yeah, I think those are pretty wise words to keep in mind, guys. So overall, I hope you've learned a lot about social life in college from this wonderful lesson we've given you. And just to recap, the topics that we've covered have been community. A college campus is uniquely awesome, and you have to take advantage of it. Extracurriculars, do what you love. Building relationships, which is obviously an incredible part of your 4 years in college. And lastly, partying. Whether you're fighting for your right to party or partying in the USA, be
Yes.
responsible and have fun.
Oh, love those two songs. Just love them.
I know you love the Miley. I'm very glad that you included that one.
I'm a huge fan of Miley. We all know that. So next week we're going to be doing our final podcast in the series finale, and it'll be all about the post-college years, graduation, and beyond.
Yay! We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes, of which there's only one, so you better get that email in soon. Hit us up at podcast@admissionado.com.
And again, we're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.